This is the Truth Seeker Weekly Briefing Alternative News for the week of October 17th, and we are absolutely thrilled to welcome all you Truth Seekers on behalf of the Great Awakening Report for this Truth Seekers Weekly Briefing Alternative News Audio Recap.
Welcome, everyone. Yeah, our mission in this deep dive, it's really about moving beyond just reacting to headlines. You know, we want to recognize the core patterns driving these big systemic changes.
Exactly. Taking all that noise, rising above it, and finding some clarity. Because the source materials this week, they hit on something powerful.
They really do. It's that quote, "Awakening doesn't smash the old world. It makes it transparent. What can't stand in the light? Well, it just falls away."
That's such a great frame for what we're looking at today. We've pulled together five pretty critical alternative stories. Mm-hmm. And when you see them together, it paints this picture of, well, extraordinary convergence.
Right. It shows how power is shifting, how the narratives we're used to are kind of fragmenting, and how major systems globally are being stress tested. I mean, from the cosmos down to computer code.
So we're linking, let's see if I have this right, media decentralization, the AI ethics situation, these claims about solar cycles causing things.
Uh-huh. And how that connects to what we're seeing in the global awakening, this phase shift. Right. And it's all framed by those, you know, pretty important 2026 threshold signals everyone's talking about.
Okay. And before we really dig into the mechanics of all that, it feels important to flag this overarching idea from the sources. It's really relevant for you, the listener.
Yeah.
That the real struggle maybe isn't just external. It's also energetic, internal. The shift we're tracking isn't just about systems. It's about consciousness moving from, like, purely head-based logic,
right,
to integrating heart-centered awareness, using discernment, intuition to filter what feels true. And this internal shift, that's the energy underpinning these big external system breaks.
That's a powerful way to put it. And maybe the best place to start is where these fractures often begin.
Yeah.
The information architecture itself.
Absolutely. So, story number one, decentralizing the megaphone. This massive shift of influence away from the big established platforms and institutions.
Yeah, towards the people. Influence is moving fast to these distributed nodes.
We're talking independent journalists, citizen researchers, community networks. The sources mentioned examples like the Free Press, Dropsite.
Even established brands like BDG apparently making a strategic pivot, moving away from relying only on big tech platforms.
Okay, so the core insight here, and this feels key for anyone creating content or just trying to navigate the info space, is that distribution is strategy.
Exactly. In this landscape, with the algorithms changing constantly, the censorship risk, you absolutely have to own your audience connection.
Right.
Whoever has that direct link, email lists, memberships, private channels, they control their reach, their resilience. It's a fundamental rewiring, really. Audience ownership is replacing that old failing ad model.
But wait, okay, so if distribution is strategy and these alternative voices are gaining ground, doesn't that make them a target? What kind of pushback are the sources warning about?
Good question. We definitely need to be watching for financial throttling. Pressure on these rising alt brands, sure, but more critically, restrictions through payment processors, cutting off their funding. And this isn't theoretical. It's happening globally.
Which brings us straight to this need for, what do sources call it, trust infrastructure. How do you or I, or anyone listening, know that the decentralized info we're getting is actually real?
Right. The sources are stressing tools for verification. They're becoming essential. Things like provenance tracking, knowing where something really came from, and on-chain content receipts.
Okay, unpack that last one a bit. On-chain content receipts.
Think of it like a digital fingerprint, a cryptographic signature or timestamp that proves who created the content, where it started, and crucially, that it hasn't been messed with. It's vital for credibility when the old gatekeepers aren't there anymore.
Okay. Wow. So moving from media integrity to, I guess, digital identity, story two, the AI crossroads, this accelerating tension between what AI can do and whether we've consented to it.
Yeah, we're seeing generative AI, like that Sora style video stuff that looks totally real, just racing ahead of any real ethical or legal guardrails.
The line between what's simulated and what's real is just blurring. Vanishing almost.
And the whole conversation has shifted. It's less, wow, look what AI can do, and more, okay, wait, who controls the consequences of this?
Which leads directly to this concept the sources highlight, the consent economy. Can you explain that? What does it mean practically for, you know, us?
It suggests a future where your unique digital self, your image, your voice, maybe even your writing style or memories become assets you can license.
So I become like a data franchise.
Sort of. Which could be empowering if you truly own and control that license. But the flip side is huge exploitation risk if you lose control. Consent literally becomes the currency.
Wow. And structurally, this AI explosion is causing these ripples, right?
Mm-hmm.
The sources mentioned jobless growth and this term work slop. What is work slop?
Work slop, yeah, it's that flood of low-quality AI-generated filler you see everywhere now.
Yeah.
Like basic articles, summaries, generic images, stuff that drowns out actual human work.
Okay.
It shows capital being poorly allocated, and it erodes trust in the value of human effort because suddenly there's all this cheap synthetic stuff flooding the market.
It is genuinely unsettling, the idea of needing to license my own voice just to protect it.
Yeah.
So what are the signs we should be watching for? What are the preventative measures coming?
Well, legally, expect more lawsuits around post-mortem image rights using the likeness of people who've passed away. That's a big one.
Makes sense.
Also, mandatory watermarking standards, ways to definitively label synthetic media. And interestingly, we might even see some enterprise AI projects get rolled back.
Really?
The sources suggest a lot of these big corporate AI pushes might just fail to deliver the promised return on investment. Disappointment plus safety concerns and liability risks could lead to pullbacks.
Okay, that's a lot to take in on the digital front. Now let's pivot from the code base to the cosmos. This feels like the bridge between our human systems and these, well, external stressors. Story 3, solar war syndrome.
Right. This is where some alternative research draws these intriguing correlations between solar the sun's peak activity cycle and periods of intense human upheaval, you know, revolutions, market crashes, social unrest.
Yeah, I know this might sound a bit out there to some listeners, but the sources point to actual physical mechanisms, right? It's measurable.
Oh, absolutely. Geomagnetic storms, bursts of solar radiation. They have well-documented impacts. They disrupt power grids, satellite communications, aviation. And there's even research suggesting these magnetic fields can influence human physiology, neural pathways, contributing to noticeable shifts in collective mood, emotional volatility, social friction during these peaks. Space weather isn't just background noise, it's an active variable.
So the idea is that solar activity acts like a risk multiplier.
Yep.
It doesn't necessarily cause a collapse on its own, but it can push systems already under stress.
Exactly. Nudge them over the edge.
So what are the tangible things to watch for then?
Analysts are tracking the KPE index. That measures geomagnetic storm strength. Anything above KPE6 signals a strong event.
KPE6, okay.
Look for those alerts. And also watch for synchronized risk-off moves in global markets, big sell-offs clustering around those geomagnetic spikes. It suggests this interesting fusion of physics, finance, and psychology.
And this mix of external pressure and internal system instability seems to lead right into the response. Story 4, the global awakening phase shift. The key here is that the movement itself is evolving.
Yes, it's maturing. Moving beyond just exposing the hidden control systems, that was kind of the outrage phase.
Right.
And into a phase of embodiment. The energy shifting towards building alternatives, towards organization, grounded in sovereignty, localism, coherence practices.
Okay, so what does embodiment look like practically?
Yeah.
On the ground, what are the measurable outcomes?
It looks like building parallel institutions, actually creating cooperative ventures, mutual aid networks, local value systems that operate outside the old hierarchies.
Mm-hmm.
People are voting with their attention, with their money, shifting their media habits to directly support creators they trust who lead with integrity.
So that explains the growth we're seeing in things like member-funded research groups, citizen investigation projects, these local in-person learning hubs.
Precisely. And also measurable migration. People moving towards what the sources call low control jurisdictions, seeking out environments, both physical and digital, that offer more autonomy.
Construction is the new protest, huh?
You could say that. And all these trends, the AI disruption, the decentralized media push, the solar pressures, they all seem to converge in our final story. Threshold signals 2026.
Right. So observers are looking at the timing, the solar cycle peaking, major financial restructuring happening, geopolitical plates shifting, maybe even soft disclosures, and seeing it as this synchronized inflection point.
A moment where multiple huge systems and maybe human consciousness itself are hitting a transformation point simultaneously.
Now, the crucial thing here for anyone listening is that the sources emphasize threshold 2026 isn't prophecy, right?
Not at all. It's presented as a preparation tool. A planning horizon, a way to frame roadmaps because heightened volatility across multiple areas seems likely.
Okay, so if it's a planning tool, What does practical readiness look like for that kind of potential volatility?
Three main areas come up. First, securing cash flow flexibility, having options financially. Second, diversifying dependencies, geographic communication channels, avoiding single points of failure.
Makes sense.
And third, maintaining strong mental and emotional resilience, what the sources sometimes call spiritual hygiene, basically staying grounded.
And what are the signals in the wider world? Yeah. Politics, markets.
Keep an eye on the BRICS settlement pilots, anything that accelerates de-dollarization. Watch Western nations trying to reshore critical minerals that signal supply chain sovereignty concerns.
Okay.
Pay attention to ceasefire announcements or optics. They often come before big swings in commodity markets. And finally, notice how continuity policies, these emergency frameworks, are becoming more normalized, embedded in regular governance.
Okay, wow. So here's where we try to tie it all together. Connecting these five threads,
yeah.
How do they actually interlock?
They create these feedback loops. Like, media decentralization helps create what you could call narrative anti-fragility. Member-supported media is just more resilient to platform censorship or throttling, and those audiences are better positioned to demand ethical AI norms, like proving content origins.
Got it. And on the economic side?
Well, AI disruption, that work slot problem we talked about, it accelerates friction in the labor market, and that directly fuels the need for the parallel economies, the local value networks that are part of that awakening frame. The stresses amplify each other.
It really does all connect. So to make this practical for planning, the sources laid out three possible near-term scenarios, say, for the next 2 to 4 weeks.
Yeah, probability-wise. First, managed flux, rated most likely at 45%. Think mild solar activity, some slow incremental AI regulations, steady growth in alt media. Consent standards start to normalize slowly.
Okay, manageable. What's next?
Shock and scramble, given a 35% chance.
Yeah.
This involves maybe a strong geomagnetic storm hitting or a major deepfake scandal that goes viral, combined with serious financial throttling on some key independent outlets.
Oof.
The result would be a scramble for secure communication channels and probably demands for emergency regulations, more reactive.
And the third possibility?
The signal boost at 20% likelihood. This could be triggered by a major disclosure event, some kind of unexpected peace negotiation optics, or a significant BRICS payment system announcement.
And the effect?
It might temporarily reduce immediate risk perception, but it would firmly push that whole threshold 2026 convergence narrative into the mainstream discussion, make it seem much more concrete.
Okay, so distilling all of this down, what are the core takeaways, the foundational truths from this week's analysis?
Let's tick them off. Five key insights. Number one.
Own your channel or someone owns your voice. Simple as that.
Three. Consent is the new currency of the AI age. If you can't control the license to your digital self, it's vulnerable.
Three. Solar spikes. They don't just cause static. They turn small cracks in our fragile systems into major fault lines.
Four. Parallel institutions, local economies, independent media, community networks, they're not just theory anymore. They're active strategy for resilience.
And finally, five. This idea of convergence like Threshold 2026, it isn't prophecy. It's a planning horizon, a prompt to prepare.
Taken together, these five stories really outline what the sources are calling the Great Compression Point.
A convergence of crises, energetic, financial, informational.
Exactly. But the point isn't just the crisis. It's that this compression ultimately serves to propel humanity towards self-organization, towards conscious sovereignty, towards that next phase of awakening. That's the pattern emerging from the noise.
And the anticipated chain reaction, the domino forecast, as they put it.
It looks something like this. Solar or other energetic disruptions potentially lead to communication and grid issues. Biosecurity narratives might be used to justify emergency powers. Financial system repricing forces a shift towards hard assets and decentralized value.
It's a complex picture, but the underlying message seems hopeful in a way.
I think so. We need to remember the source perspective is often that the collapse of an old order isn't just destruction, it's the necessary clearing. It makes space for the new to rise.
So the call to action is?
Stay informed, stay grounded, use your discernment, and keep connecting these dots for yourself. It's an extraordinary time to be alive and aware.